mean people are using, are accessing health care. Many people are foregoing health care because they can't afford the copays, the deductibles, and so forth. So it's health insurance, it's not health care.
Is the idea for the Oregon Health Care for All, is it to build on the Affordable Care Act, or would you rather see the Affordable Care Act superseded by another plan, a single payer?
No, it is actually absolutely a plan to build on. There is, under the Affordable Care Act, actually, thanks to the foresight of Senator Wyden, there's a clause in the Affordable Care Act that allows in 2017 states to begin to go beyond what the Affordable Care Act has created, and a waiver is available allowing states to experiment with new systems as long as people are covered as well as the Affordable Care Act model. You can go in any direction as long as you can, you know, prove to the feds that you're going to be covering everybody. And this, the 20-plus states around the country that are thinking about moving to a single-payer type health plan are looking at this waiver, and that would be part of the planning to build from the Affordable Care Act to a truly universal system.
So I know Oregon Healthcare for All, or Healthcare for All Oregon, has been demonstrating at the state legislature and making concerns known. Is the idea to, we'll talk about the idea of what your approach is towards the change in Oregon.
Yeah, and we realize that these kinds of changes don't happen overnight. So we have run a single payer bill 3 sessions in a row, and each time we get a good hearing and we educate more legislators and more of the public about this idea. And this session we had a particularly good hearing on SB 631, which was our single payer, our iteration of the idea of a single payer health plan for Oregon, and it was very well received by legislators and others in the building in Salem. But eventually we realized that whether we pass it through the legislature, whether we pass it through a legislative referral to the ballot, or whether we go directly to the ballot, eventually the insurance companies and other interests would take anything we would pass in the legislature and take it to the ballot. So eventually the voters of Oregon will vote on the idea of a universal publicly funded plan in Oregon. And that's our long-term plan, is to educate and reach out to as many Oregonians face-to-face, town by town, at tabling at farmers markets and showing films in people's living rooms. And that's what we are doing year in and year out with the 113 organizations and local chapters around the state, is we're doing outreach on this idea until we have enough voters. We actually have done polling that indicates that the majority of Oregonians support this idea now, but we want to make sure it's a big enough a majority that we can win at the ballot.
How close do you think you are?
I think that's what the board is wrestling with now. We're doing some really deep strategic thinking this summer and into the fall. And, you know, there are, you know, in a movement, there's the people that want to go to ballot and right away in 2016, and there's others that are cautioning that if we really want to win, we need to do more deep education and conversation with the electorate before we move. So the board is wrestling with that now. So it could be as early as 2016, or it might take a few more years to build the momentum to make this happen.
And you mentioned the role of the insurance industry that you expected if this got on the ballot. Can you talk more about what the role of the insurance industry has been on this issue, say, in Oregon?
Yeah, predictably, we feel like the money that was brought in, for example, on the GMO issue, on that ballot measure, the tens of millions, I think that's the kind of money we would see against this kind of a ballot measure. The national health insurance industry would be throwing maybe more money than's ever gone into a ballot measure into the state. So that's why we want to make sure that we're prepared and we're ready to go the distance before we go to ballot measure.
And how many, you mentioned that, that the, you seem to say that the people who aren't covered in Oregon are the people who are just not able to pay the copays or the various. So are technically, is everyone now in Oregon covered?
Not, I mean, even under the Affordable Care Act, there's going to be the certain number of people that haven't bothered and are going to pay the fine or whatever, that haven't bothered to get insurance. So there are those people, but there are a lot of people in the lower plans, like the bronze plans, where the copays, deductibles, et cetera, are such that they have insurance on paper, but basically they're choosing not to go to doctors because they can't afford it. That's our ongoing concern, and it's interesting because in some ways those that are getting Medicaid or Oregon Health Plan are kind of doing better than some people that are kind of between 138% of poverty up to 200% of poverty, where they're making too much to get Medicaid or Oregon Health Plan, but they're not making enough to be able to pay the amounts necessary to cover themselves under the Affordable Care Act.
I'm speaking with Lee Mercer. He is board president of Healthcare for All Oregon. We're talking about the recent Supreme Court decision upholding the Affordable Care Act and what that means for Oregon, what it means for groups such as Healthcare for All Oregon, who are advocating for a single-payer system. And we might have time for a few phone calls. If anyone has a question or comment, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. And Lee, I wanted to ask you, can you talk about what's happening in Vermont, and the kind of thing that's happened there after their attempt to get single-payer?
Yeah, I think that's that's a very good question. Vermont actually was the first state to actually legislatively mandate that they were going to go to this kind of a single-payer system. And a few years ago, they passed this bill, and then they got into... But in passing the bill, they didn't actually work out the details of some of the costs of this are going to be new revenue needed to pay for that part of the system that now is flowing through payments to insurance companies. So some new taxes are needed. And that wasn't put into the original bill that was passed in the Vermont legislature. So as the governor and the legislature began to wrestle with how are we going to pay for this and what are the exact details, the concerns around the cost of this got out to various interest groups in the state of Vermont. And those interest groups began to make a ruckus. And at a given point, about 6 months ago, the governor kind of pulled back and said, okay, wait a minute, I think this is going to cost more than we thought, and kind of pulled back on what the legislature had actually mandated to happen. So they're kind of rethinking it at this point. But we in Oregon have been doing some work. We actually have done some studies quietly on what the cost of this kind of a system would be, and we're kind of analyzing our legislative committee of Healthcare for All Oregon various revenue models that we're discussing with the legislature to make this happen, to try to have this more so in place when we do pass a bill or a ballot measure, so we have a better sense for what it's going to cost and who's going to pay for it.
And what are some types of revenue models?
Well, the most likely, because our preference, of course, we're looking for something that is a progressive revenue model that makes sure that folks are paying their fair share and based on what they can afford to pay. So that, but the most likely model would be partially a payroll tax, which would be on employers. But the caveat on that is that employers now, many of them, are paying X percentage of their payroll on health insurance, up to 15, 20, or more percent of their payroll is actually in health insurance benefits. This payroll tax would actually be less than they're paying now for health insurance. So they would be better off, and we would all be better off with a system where we spread the payment for health care among a wider circle, and not just be paying through the health insurance companies.
Are there any other models that are out there?
There are, other countries, Germany, Japan, et cetera, have other models where they actually have insurance companies do all of this payment, but they are extremely well regulated so that they don't have the level of profits and naming moda centers and CEO pay, et cetera. So there's a lot less waste in those systems. So there are different models of making this happen, but essentially it's a decision by the electorate that our value is that healthcare is a human right, and that we will get together and figure out how we will all share fairly in paying for that healthcare.
I'm speaking with Lee Mercer. He is board president of Healthcare for All Oregon. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And on, I think it was your website or Healthcare for All Oregon, there was an article from Fortune magazine that was titled, "Is the Market Moving Us to Universal Healthcare?" Talking about mergers in the health insurers field. Can you talk about that, what that's about?
Well, not the specific article. I'm not that familiar with it. But essentially, throughout our society, we are pricing healthcare out of viability. I mean, the cost of healthcare, the cost of healthcare insurance, and the cost of healthcare to government in terms of all the employees of government, and the cost of healthcare to business in terms of the cost of healthcare for their employees, and the cost of healthcare for unions in terms of not only the cost of healthcare, and then under the Affordable Care Act, certain, as they are called, quote-unquote Cadillac health plans of some unions are going to be taxed very steeply. So in every sector of society, the cost of healthcare in the current health insurance system is becoming not viable, and folks are realizing that we need to go a different way.
Okay. I think we have a caller on the line. We have Dawn. Dawn, welcome to Political Perspectives. Your question or comment for Lee Mercer.
Thank you for taking my call. What you're talking about is more taxes on the people in order to pay for the system that you're suggesting. I don't know about you, but I already pay 33% of my paycheck is gone to taxes and health insurance and Social Security and all that other stuff. Take a look at your paycheck stub and do the math on it. You're asking me to sign up, or you're suggesting that I sign up for a system that's going to cost me more money, when I barely get by as it is. I mean, the government just wants more money out of you. And if you go to a single-payer system, it's going to double what I pay in taxes. So I am totally against your suggestion. And I will take your comment off the line. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. Lee, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, thanks, Don. Yeah, and that is... that's an often stated perspective, and the gut reaction to all of us is we feel like we're paying our at least our fair share. I feel I like actually to pay my taxes because I believe it's our responsibility as citizens to do so. But the plan that we've devised and the ultimate plan that we're shooting for is one whereby that amount that you're paying for health insurance now, and you may be paying for it through your employer, and you don't even know actually how much your health insurance is costing necessarily, or you're paying it directly to a health insurance company. And at my age, those policies, well, before I went to Medicare, which I like, that policy was getting up to $1,000 or $1,200 a month. That's a crazy amount of money to spend on healthcare. The point being that the tax system that would be developed both for employers and for individuals, the average Oregonian or the average Oregon company would be paying less in taxes than they are currently paying now in premiums for healthcare. So there is a net savings that we're projecting on this system for the average citizen. Some higher income folks, this may not be the case. Some folks, but the average Oregonian is going to pay less money for healthcare and get better results.
What about the perception of someone who is just struggling to get by and, I don't know, maybe falls in that area not being, you know, not being totally covered right now? How do you speak to that person about the system and what it would do?
Well, as noted earlier, the bulk of the current envisioning of revenue would be an employer tax. So if there was any employee or income tax, it would be a progressive tax that the folks under a given point and probably at 180 or 200% of poverty, under that point, they would be not paying anymore. I mean, you know, so.
Okay. And let people know again, we have about 10 minutes left. If you have a question or comment, we're talking about possible single payer, the move for single payer in Oregon, and the recent Supreme Court decision upholding Affordable Care Act. I guess the you mentioned Medicaid, the expansion of Medicaid. Can you talk a little bit more about that, how that fits into what's happened in Oregon, and why Medicaid has been expanded?
Yeah, I mean, it was part and parcel. One of the big pieces of the Affordable Care Act was the expansion of Medicaid. And this was offered nationwide, and then you had the various states that were fighting against the Affordable Care Act that didn't elect to expand their Medicaid coverage. And I don't have the report right in front of me, but I was astounded by numbers in a report I read a few months ago comparing the states that didn't expand Medicaid with the states that did expand Medicaid. And there's already a reduction in mortality rates and other health health data is showing that you're more likely to die in a state where they didn't expand Medicaid, because now there's more coverage for more people in those other states. And it's actually, those are the kind of the data that most of the industrialized countries in the world are at a better place than the United States in terms of outcomes like infant mortality and how long you're going to live. The U.S. is down there with some third world countries in terms of, or at least at the bottom of the pack in terms of the industrial countries. And in the states that increased Medicaid, those kinds of data points are already shifting, and less people are dying and more people are being healthy.
And we have another call. We have James on the line. James, your question or comment, please.
My comment was to that Don guy who just called, and, you know, he's talking about basically the bottom line. But the truth of the matter is that as taxpayers, I mean, when people are uninsured, we're still paying for them. You know, visits to the emergency room, you know, you talk about the cost that it takes to sweep up, you know, homeless folks on the streets, you know, what they're doing right now. And it's like, you know, what we're paying for is not necessarily just monetary, but it's a spiritual death, you know, in our cities. You know, it's like what Martin Luther King would call a spiritual death on the payment plan. The longer we wait to be able to start implementing things like universal health care, I mean, yeah, it's going to cost us more money to begin with, but in the long run, the cost will reduce because everybody will have it. But then on the same note, it's like, you know, we'll also be benefiting in spiritual ways, because we won't have to see people around us living, you know, in a destitute manner, or I don't know. It's just like, I was reading something where it's like we ranked 190th in the world out of like several countries as far as how we you know, our health care and, you know, the type of living situations we're in. And the last call was right. We're down there with some third world countries. So,
James, thank you. Thank you for that comment. Do you want to speak to that at all?
Absolutely. James is absolutely right that we are actually per capita, per each of us as a share of the national economy, per capita, we spend more on health care than any other country in the world in this country, and we don't get as good of health outcomes. And so he's right. this system is going to cost less, and it's going to cover everybody instead of costing more than any other country and not covering everybody.
And we're going to try to fit in another call. Lee, we have Brooke on the line. Brooke, your question or comment, please.
Hi. This maybe won't take too long. It just strikes me when you talk about ways of paying for a system like this that we seem to still be tying health care to employment and, you know, what employers will pay, what workers will pay in taxes. And I wonder if there's some reason, since many people do not work or cannot work, is there a reason why it has to be related to employment?
Thank you, Brooke. That's a good question. Lee, do you want to respond?
It is a good question, and you're right. The actual intent of this is to take health care off the backs of business. There is some revenue sources needed, and so payroll tax seemed like one of the most efficient ways of getting there. But this would take all of the administration of health care plans, all of the dealing with the health insurance companies, and all of the rest off of business. More and more businesses, we have, in my other hat, I work with Main Street Alliance of Oregon, a small business coalition around the state, and we have a majority of those business owners supporting this kind of a Medicare for all system. And larger businesses, medium and large businesses also are beginning to realize that they're going to be a lot better off when they no longer have to manage health care.
Okay, I think, is Brooke still there? Or okay, so Brooke's off the line, so I don't know if there's a follow-up to that, but we're almost out of time anyway, Lee, and I wanted to ask, what would be your concluding comments, or what would you like people to know that maybe we haven't touched on during this interview?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that folks interested in this should be in touch with Healthcare for All Oregon. Get on our email list. Our website is HCAO for Healthcare for All Oregon, HCAO.org. We have a number of educational events coming up this summer. T.R. Reid, the producer of a PBS documentary, Sick Around the World, and an internationally known author on healthcare reform, will be speaking in Portland, Salem, and other sites in July, and you can find information on that at the hcao.org website. Also, we're going to be doing a tour in September around the state of a one-man show called Mercy Killers, about a conservative guy who learns when his wife has cancer that the healthcare system in this country is pretty unforgiving, and the kind of learning experience he goes through. That Mercy Killers play, you could Google it. Tickets for the Portland and Eugene shows are available now on Ticket Tomato. So folks need to get in touch with us, get involved, because we need to get out and educate ourselves on changing the system to one that works for everybody. Our motto is healthcare for all, everybody in, nobody out.
And again, that website for contacting you
is hcao.org.
And the T.R. Reid event, when is that coming?
There's several going to be. There'll be July 24th, a 6 p.m. event in Portland. There is he's presenting to the Salem City Club on Saturday the 25th at noon. And he'll be down at Lynn Benton College that evening at 7 p.m. in Lynn Benton. And then on the 27th at 6 p.m., he'll be at the Multnomah County Building speaking on universal health care why Oregon won't be first. That's only because he's in Colorado, and they think they're going to get it through sooner than we are. But we're all kind of racing to get this kind of system going.
All right, Lee Mercer, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us today on KBOO. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, that was Lee Mercer. He is Board President of Healthcare for All Oregon. This is Kathleen Stevenson for Political Perspectives. Thank you, Tammy, and stay tuned for Flashpoints.
I'm a loving the old lion, a winner without fail.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the PDX Leo Party, Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian. A birthday celebration for all you Portland Leos with special performances from Sleep of Old Dominion and the Chicharrones, Mike Crenshaw, Smoke M2D6, and many more. Again, that's the PDX Leo Party on Friday, July 31st, starting at 8 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian, located at 426 Southwest Washington Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock and time for Flashpoints. Be sure and stay tuned at 11 for the KBOO Bike Show with news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. And thank you, KBOO members, again for your generous support. You can always become a member by going to kboo.fm and clicking where it says Donate Today. Thanks a lot for doing that. And now we go to Flashpoints.
Flash.